Hi. So today I'm going to show how you can handle the back button in an ASP.NET AJAX application. So let me start by building a very simple ASP.NET web application. So I'm going to select ASP.NET 3.5 extensions website here. You could also choose a new application and do that with a web application, of course. And here, to make things a little more fun, I'm going to select Visual Basic, which is not my usual language, but this will just make things a little more fun. Alright, so I'm going to switch to Design View, and here I'm going to drop a simple wizard control onto the page. And I'm going to add a new step to that wizard, step 3. And I'm going to inject some text boxes into each of the steps here. So that's one for step 1, step 2. Step 3. There you go. So now I have a little application with a wizard. So here I can enter some data. Oh, I'm already on step 3. Oh, yeah, I selected step 3 here. Well, no big deal. And I can just enter stuff in the different steps, and you can notice here that I have support for the back button, because here what's happening is that each time I click a button or a link here, it actually posts back the page and the browser adds a new point to history. So what happens if inside of this page I make this page an AJAX application? So the way I can do that is by adding an update panel here. Do I have a script manager on this page? No, I probably need to add one. So I also add a script manager. Then move to the top of the page. Yeah, that's fine. And now I can move my wizard inside of my update panel. So I can select the wizard and just move it into the update panel. There you go. So if I run this application again, this is the exact same application with that little difference that now when I enter stuff into my application, there is no postback. Instead, the client-side script for ASP.NET AJAX just manages the postbacks as out-of-band calls to the server and just updates the page with whatever the server sent back. So this application is now an AJAX application, but what we lost here is the back button. So we want to restore that. And the way you restore it is by adding some code to this application. So we need to do two things here. First, we need to handle a state change in the application. So a state change in the application here is when you choose a new step in the wizard. So this should create a new history point. So we'll handle the event on the wizard that is triggered when you change the index. And we are going to handle that and create a history point from there. And the second thing we need to do is handle any navigation event, so when the user clicks the back button, for example, and restore the state to whatever it was previously. So let's do this. Well, before we do this, we actually need to activate I need to step out of this. Okay. We need to activate the history, to enable the history on the script manager. So I selected the script manager and it enabled history. Now I can take my wizard control and go to the events and select the active step change event and write code there. Okay, so what I want to do here is that if the script manager is doing an async postback, which is where we need to manage the navigation and the back button, and the script manager is not currently navigating, so it has a property that's called isNavigating. Oh, I'm writing C# here. So if the script manager is not is navigating, that means that the asynchronous postback was a result of the user clicking the back button, or the forward button for that matter. But essentially, it means that we are in the process of restoring a previous state of the application and not creating a new one. So the only case where we want to create a new history point is if we are in async postback and if we are not navigating. So in that case, I want to create that history point. So that is done by calling add history point on the script manager, and I can give it a string that is the key of my state. So I can actually build a composite state that is the composition of many different parts of the page entering into the state. So for example, you might have that wizard storing its index into the page state, and you might have another part of the page storing another piece of state, and those two should behave independently and shouldn't step on each other's toes. So here, in that case, you might want to choose something a little more specific than just index, but here this will do fine for this sample application. And what we want to store in there is the active step of the wizard. So wizard 1 dot active step index, and we want to make that a string. And we also can specify a title which will appear in the back button's drop down list. So this will become clear in a moment. So I will do something like that and just add the index here again. Active step index string. There you go. So here we created our history point. I'm gonna make that formatted a little nicer. Okay. There you go. Ooh, and I'm doing C# again. Okay, so that's our first step, intercepting any change in the state of the application. Now, for our second step, which is to handle the navigate event on the script manager. So this is raised if the user clicked the back button, typically. So here, we're getting the current state, the navigated state, here as the E parameter of the event, and this E parameter is of type history event args, which has a state property. So first thing we do, we extract the state from there. Ah. Equals E dot state. And we extract the index from there. Okay, so if my and here you can see that my Visual Basic is really rusty. All right. So hopefully this will work. And if this string index is null or empty, then we want to restore the default state for our wizard. So that means that the active step index must be 0 in this case. And otherwise, we want to pass that that index string and store it into an integer variable. Equals int dot convert to int 32 of index string and wizard 1 dot active step index equals index. All right, so that should more or less work. Hopefully. Okay, so here's my wizard. A, B, C, and here you can see that the back button is enabled, and if I click the back button, I do get to the previous step, and I can do back, forward, and get that state. And in the drop-down here, I can really see the previous steps as being labeled as what I set as the title. On the other hand, if you look at the actual title of the page here, you may notice that when I do navigate, it doesn't get restored. So let's fix that. So to fix that, we want to set the title from, let's say, let's see here, page.title equals index string, and we want to add that stuff in front of it. There you go. So let's run this. And here you can see that my title gets restored to whatever it was. Excellent. So this is actually working. There is just one thing that you may notice here on this state. So the state, if you want to know the details, gets stored in the URL here in the navigator. Well, actually, this is the only place where we can store that state data. But here, because we are using server state, we are using the server code to set the history points, to add the history points. By default, the state is encrypted to prevent, it's hashed to prevent tampering. So this is a security feature that's enabled by default, but many times this will not be what you want. So you can deactivate this feature by setting enable state hash to false. And if I run this again, now I will have a much nicer URL here. As you can see here, the index gets stored in the URL as clear text. So I can actually look at this and have a nice human readable URL, and I can even modify it, and that actually navigates to the right step. All right, so that's pretty much it. This is how you add Backbutton and history management to a server-side ASP.NET application. And here we didn't write a single line of JavaScript, which is kind of nice. All right, so thank you very much, and this is the end of this screencast.